Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
First one of 2026, people. What are we going to talk about? We're going to do a quick little recap on Cortomuso from Saturday. Genoa preview. What else we're going to obviously city recap. Transfer rumors, if there's any. What's going on in the football world in Europe? A bit of this, a bit of that. Stevie P, siamo pronti, because it's been a long weekend, but it is the first one of 2026, and shall we get the show on the road?
Happy New Year, let's go!
Cari amici sportivi, welcome to an edition of the Milan Weekly Podcast. First of 2026, Vinny T, Stevie P here talking everything Milan, a win, reset, refocus, a Cortomuso Milan. And guys, it is what it is. Happy New Year. Happy New Year to every subscriber, listener, Patreon, downloader, and most importantly, guys, to all the supporters out there. And one way to support, super chats are open. Guys, you want us to answer one of your questions. And even on that note, right, if you want to, you know, partake. We got a little poll there, guys. This is what the questions are going to be. Answer there in the YouTube poll. What's Milan's biggest focus right now? Beating Genoa, January transfer, city at table position, squad rotation and fitness. Give it your choice there in the comments. Stevie P, how we doing, man? Happy New Year. I haven't spoken to you since 2025. And how you been? I know, I hope better than Saturday when I saw you at the bar.
Better than Saturday, that's for sure. Happy about the 3 points. There's missing one special thing that everybody needs to do, and that's subscribe. You guys, it's very important to the channel, very important that you guys subscribe, you turn on those notifications, and you make sure, guys, that you spread the word of Milan Weekly Podcast to everybody out there. Important that you know Coast to Coast will be going on Thursday after the game versus Genoa. They'll preview probably the Fiorentina game that's going to happen on Sunday. Who knows what other scheduling manifesto will happen with Serie A. But as long as you subscribe, tell your friends, turn on those notifications, super chat us. That's the way you could help us. Fantastic and great spirit for 2026. Let's go.
Stevie P, you know, I was talking about a Saturday. I just wanted to say that I thought Allegri was going to take out his jacket, but I thought you were going to take out your jacket. You took the napkin holder, but you're a very considerate person, because you asked the people at Chocharo's which TV it needs to be replaced here. Because, you know, you wanted to smash a television. But, you know, on that end, thank you for at least being there first off. We had Massimo, even Bizak was there. We had Christian was there. And they said the only reason we won is that I made them change seats because they were sitting in the wrong spot there. But Stevie P, I know Fabio and Gio did speak about it on Thursday, their recap of the game. But that was ugly. That was really ugly. And I just take me through your feelings and your recap of the game. And I know we won. I know, and we keep mentioning, it's like I keep thinking of Juve 7-8 years ago with Allegri, how we used to get on here this podcast and go, fuck, they suck the shit, and they would end up winning. One loss all season. Steve, talk to me, man.
Not a very good game. I found that we didn't show up for the first half. It was a very tough half to watch, a la the napkin holder incident where, you know, Chicharos was going to get a brand new TV. It's just frustrating to watch them play when they don't seem like they're engaged. And for the first half of that Cagliari game, it didn't look like they were very engaged. It took me to leave the bar, you guys to switch seats so that they can get 3 points. which is fantastic. But I'd like to watch complete games at the bar with everybody there when I do come. Again, just not really, 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 really pissed off at Leao after that first half.
I know you're mentioning you didn't like his body language. I've been reading that he was told not to force too much because of an injury. Then the argument is like, but if you're not supposed to force too much, you got a coach that puts up a guy like Loftus-Cheek as a second striker, and he's come up with formations without Leao. But do you believe any of these stories saying like he was told not to force and make sure he doesn't aggravate his injury?
Look, I think that's a pretty huge risk for Milan to take against Cagliari there. And no disrespect to Cagliari, but if he was injured, same thing like Pulisic, and you know, same thing like Ngoku. We needed to make sure that we suit up 11 healthy players. I'm pretty sure they could have found some other formation that could have, at least, you know, for the first 60 minutes, been without Leao, because even for the first 45, we were without Leao except for a couple of little mini sprints. Was again losing the ball, so on and so forth. The same old, but then gets on the score sheet and all is forgiven, right? So
didn't touch the ball very much, Steve, in the first half. And another person we were kind of like nitpicking on this game, Bizak even mentioning in Salamakers. I don't know, Steve, since he signed that contract, it just seems like, I don't know, is it something to worry about? Is it the Salamakers that we're used to see when, you know, before we loaned him out in the previous years, he was doing so good in the first, what was it, 7-8 games? And I don't know, is it something to worry about? Is he maybe going to give up a spot?
Absolutely. I think his spot is in question if everybody gets healthy and how we try to fit and put out our best 11. I think Salamaker at this point in form loses the spot, even to, you know, someone like Leao or Pulisic on the right. And if we find a good chemistry up front there, if he decides to continue with Leao up front or put him on the wing, something has to happen in regards to Salamaker to make him understand that, you know, there is competition and his spot is not guaranteed just because he has a contract. So
definitely. And Magic Mike, I know he didn't, it's not like he stood on his head, but kept us in the game. Steve, man of the match to think about on this one. Modric, I remember you just hearing him, what a pass and what a pass. Was maybe Modric your man of the match? And I know maybe like a silent kind of hero in this match, or anybody else that you can think of.
I think Modric was fantastic with his range. Happy that he was able to come off and get a little bit of a break. Also, you know what? Rabiot was actually very good as well. A couple of missed passes in the first, but then in the second, he showed that, you know, he is of quality and he is someone that we cannot do without in the midfield. So Rabiot and Modric for me are man of the match.
I was scrolling through Facebook and one post came up and it said, "De Winter, 88 touches, 92% passing accuracy," and they were making it seem like he had the game of his life. And I was like, no, he's not very good. And I know putting Bartesaghi there in the defense, and I was like, no, Steve, these kind of signings that we did, do you think they're going to do anything in January?
I don't know, but, you know, we gave up pretty fast on Terracciano there. It was playing at Cremonese. I probably mispronounced his name there.
No, Terracciano,
yeah. Yeah, but 22 years old, playing at Cremonese. Again, I know it's not the same sweater, it's not the same pressure, but seems to be doing very good in that three-man back at Cremonese. Would have been something maybe to maybe be a little bit more patient with, but they decided to move away from that. You know, he went out on loan, and now we need to be patient, right? So we signed other guys, you know, the young German who's probably going to go on out on loan and not keep someone like who's actually still playing in Serie A. We need to figure out a lot of areas there, and I'm pretty sure we're going to talk about it. For me, just to put a button in the Cagliari game, guys, It's important to win ugly. We've talked about it before in the past. This was winning ugly. This is the types of games that when you get 3 points, it makes a huge difference. Instead of getting 1 point, especially with, you know, other teams winning or either dropping points. So for me, this ugly win, it is ugly. We, you know, the guys talked about it on there on Coast to Coast. For me, it's 3 points. We move on to Genoa and try to get another 3 points.
Steve, I'm thinking, let's do a Serie A recap, and then I want to take you through maybe the previews, because I don't want to talk about everybody else is playing 3 games this week. And I truly believe that this is where mistakes are going to cost these teams. So let's go take a look at what was the week of round 18 of Serie A. This segment is brought to you by Fubo.tv, your home for all things Serie A and EPL in Canada. E se può anche ascoltare in Italiano. Stevie P, obviously we started off the week with the 1-0 win away at home. Como, getting another 3 points here at home. Not a big win, but again, Como. Steve, 18 weeks in, it seems like they might be the real deal. Well, what did you, do you think they're the real deal?
Ugly win for Monza? Como. Ugly win for Como. Again, it's the real deal.
Real deal on Como. Genoa Pisa 1-1. Nothing to write home about on this one. You know what? I know there was a lot of 1-1 games, but let's give it for Liban Youssef. Sassuolo 1-1 at Sassuolo. I know we want to talk about this one, Steve. I know we want to talk about Juventus 1, Lecce 1. Seemed like they were back on track, a little bit back on track, and Juventini's had a little bit of hope, Steve. A little bit of hope. I want to ask you, because it's a kind of a double-edged sword. I know there's the whole Jonathan David, and I know what, Steve. I'm fed up with talking about VAR. I'm fed up about refereeing because again, this week refereeing was horrible. Articles all over the place. What do you do if you yield this? Do you give the ball to David? I was talking about this at the bar today, right? Tried to give him confidence for a penalty, and I said that well, Pulisic gave it to Nkunku. And the Terazzi, Vinny, goes, you guys were up 1-0. So it's not the end of the world if he misses. What do you do if you yield this? And Jonathan David, is it now, it's all in here? Is this experiment over? This is not a game that Juventus needed to drop points.
No, not a game that they needed to drop points. Didn't play well either. Got behind late in the first half by a terrible mistake by Cambiasso, who is someone that we need to speak about because on the national team will play an important role. But it looks like he's having a really, really down year. This error that he did over the weekend leading to Lecce's goal is not very forthcoming of what we're looking at on that left-hand side for the national team and for Juventus. Vinny, what do you do at the spot taker? For me, I'm a true believer that the pitch talks. So usually they know who the actual spot kick taker is. I think he should take it depending on the situation. They needed to take the lead here. They needed the person who continuously takes the PKs, and that's Yildiz. Take that PK and put them up 2-1. Against Lecce. I understand being a teammate, and apparently, I was watching some other, social media stuff. I don't know if it's true. And apparently it's not Yildiz that gave him the ball. It's Locatelli that told Yildiz to give him the ball. So they invited him. They invited him for dinner, and he really, really messed it up. That is probably one of the worst PKs that I've seen.
That's what I was going to say.
Been taken in my life. It was terrible. It was not a cucchiaio, it was nothing cheeky, it was completely someone who has no confidence, someone who understands that he's not in the French league anymore. The tap-ins, they do not exist. These guys eat, sleep, drink, fucking defense, and this is what Jonathan Davis is getting getting a taste of. And this is why, you know, it's important that he finds the net some other way. This was going to be maybe a mulligan for him, and maybe something that would, again, get a little bit of confidence. But him missing, not only were they not inviting him for dinner, and I put it in the chat, I don't think they're going to invite him to the stadium anymore.
Yeah, and this is what we're going to talk about after, where after, you know, 18 weeks, where now you're going to see, maybe see this team start separating and the mistakes will start counting. Gasperini's return at Atalanta, Steve, did not go as planned or as he wanted it. Atalanta 1-0. Not a very exciting game on this one, Steve. It was just, I watched it. I was expecting more goals than this, but Atalanta, were you surprised by this result?
Roma was terrible. Roma was not good at all in this game. Atalanta controlled it. Atalanta should have been up 2-0. The VAR reversed Scamacca's 2-0 goal with a call that I've never seen before in my life. I don't know where we were going with VAR. This was completely horrendous. It was disgusting to the game. It's everything VAR should not be. And it's not something of, it's dubious 50-50. It's just the simple laws of the game. The refs are so damaged mentally in terms of what they need to call and what they can call. They're becoming too much part of the end result of games. And this is getting very scary. Very, very scary. Because if Roma comes back and ties this game 1-1, Atalanta should have been furious. Furious.
One article on sports media said, saying, like, looks like refs are scared to ref. Just scared of what decisions they might make. And like you were saying, there's the bad call. But what if this result, even think about that, if this result would have ended 1-1. Steve, Lazio being Lazio. It's not Lazio without red cards. And I have to give it to the Zone Italia commentators when they were fighting. It was, forse ci sta dando l'auguria del buon anno. I'm like, okay, this guy's trying to be funny on this one. But Steve, Lazio didn't show up. Didn't show up at all. For a coach, Sarri, that keeps on beating in the past Conte, I don't think they had a shot on target in the whole first half, but Napoli did exactly what they needed to do, and Lazio never showed up and got their emotions got the better of them, and two red cards for Lazio, one for Napoli. Just not a pretty game to watch, but Napoli got it done. What, there was 40 minutes in when they scored their 2-0?
Game was over after 30 minutes.
That sums it up pretty well. We've been joking around that it might be Serie B, Steve. We're going to look at the tables after. Fiorentina leaving it extra late. I was told Keane had family problems. That's why he didn't start. But comes on, scores the 1-0. Even in this match, Steve, that whole refereeing decision about they called back. There wasn't a penalty. It's an actual foul. In the end, Fiorentina gets an extremely important three points on this one.
Yeah, beating Cremonese, where a lot of teams are having trouble beating Cremonese, and they're pretty high up, you know, mid-table Cremonese. Good on Fiorentina at home. The fans were not nice to them. And the soccer was not great either. So they have a lot of work to do. I don't think I don't think they see the light yet. But I think they can try to turn it around, and it's going to be depending on other results if they get out of that relegation zone.
Torino with a surprising win, but then again, it is Verona, and these are the kind of results why Fiorentina right now might look that they might be able to save themselves. And I know, Steve, it's Inter. I know there are rivals. I hate them with a fucking passion. What a masterclass. I know he made a mistake here. It was actually Bologna, not Lecce. But Inter and guys, Tony at the bar is like, yeah, we have it over here with Bologna. Cost us the Scudetto's 2 years. But wow, they played fantastic on this one. So no, guys, not Lecce, Bologna on this one. Yeah. But your thoughts on the Inter 3-1 win?
Look, it was a bit strange not seeing Orsolini start. I was just a bit confused with Bologna's lineup. I don't know if they were looking past this game. Inter looked good. They missed a lot of chances too. It could have been more than 3-0.
I think 20. Oh yeah, the goal posts at the beginning and Lautaro missing all in the first 20 minutes. They could have had easily 2 to 3 goals there.
Yeah, at a certain point, Bologna I think made a mistake, and I think they poked the bear with not enough quality to poke the bear, and then they started. You know, look, when Inter's rolling, Inter's rolling, and right now Inter's rolling.
Exactly. Even with a team with 4 losses, still at the top of the table, Stevie P. Game in hand, yes, will be played next week. But this is what I was talking to you about, right? Fiorentina, all of a sudden, 12 points. I think the reason why a team, after 18 weeks, having only 2 wins, being able to save themselves, Stevie, because Pisa, Verona, and Genoa were just fucking horrible. Just horrible, horrible. And looking at them, we're going to discuss after the Juves, the Romas. You keep dropping points at this point of the season. This is where at the end of the season, you're going to think back of these kind of games, right? And now, do you believe that the stretch, it's going to start stretching between these top, let's say top 5, even top 6 teams? Because Como's in there, man. Como's in there.
Yeah, January, February, March are the key months. That's when you'll see... you'll see the top 4 pull away, and you'll see the bottom 4 kind of formulate themselves and see who's going to go down, who's going to go up. In terms of Europe, yes, the top 4 will formulate itself a bit in, you know, January, February. Beginning of March is when, you know, when it's going to start getting hard, because some teams are going to have played a lot of football. And that's when you can't start dropping points. So January is very difficult for these guys. The weather's cold, the muscle problems, a lot of football. Again, these are the dog days months. These are the dog months of the season. This is when, you know, it's truly a marathon. It's not a sprint.
And on that note... This segment was brought to you by Fubo.tv, your home for all things Serie A and EPL here in Canada. Speaking about the dog days, we're going to get into it. You were mentioning January, February, March. We're going to look at what's upcoming for all the Serie A teams. Steve, how was your January 1st? You had no bella pisce fritta baccalà. How was it? Bella mangiata?
January 1st is, you know, is a great day.
And by any means... Were you able to catch the EPL, Steve, on January 1st? Because it is the greatest league in the world, right? But these were the results from January 1st. Allora, your thoughts on the EPL? I know there has been a couple of sacking of managers. This was January 1st, not something you would expect from the EPL, especially on, you know, you're trying to relax, let's entertain ourselves with some EPL, but my God, this was horrible. But this only happened in Serie A, Steve.
This is exactly why we wanted to put up the graphic. My little EPL rant, which was absolutely true, went a little viral. A lot of people,
100,000, Steve.
Yeah, a lot of people had a lot of comments to say, and I love reading the comments. I love it. I love it. I love it. It's just one of the great things of social media is the comments and how, you know, imaginative these people could be, whether they mean, you know, they mean well or not. I take them just for the way they are because I really couldn't care. The EPL sucks. So you show up January 1st, and you prop this up, and it's this mega marketing thing where, you know, we're gonna play till these guys just don't have any juice because we don't care. The only thing we care about the EPL is money. This is what happens. You get shakwat the games. They're completely shakwat. The games were not entertaining at all. And, you know, someone's going to say, but you just showed a graphic and everything was 1-1. There's a difference between those 1-1s and the EPL 1-1s. The EPL 1-1s is basically kicking the ball from one goal area to the other goal area and hoping that, you know, if you're Manchester City, you have an Erling Haaland who can score a goal. Right? The 1-1s that we see in the Serie A, again, some of them, are they entertaining? And this is where people get me wrong. Am I saying that Serie A is the most entertaining league in the world? No. We have a lot of work to do. We have a ton of work to do. But don't tell me that your EPL is better than my Serie A. I'm just not going to believe it in terms of quality of soccer, in terms of production, in terms of the way you market your league. 100%.
Way above us.
Yeah. Way above. Light years away from us. Light year away from us. So the 100,000, come back in the comments over there and chiedete scuse a Steve. Chiedete scuse a Steve, because all those 1-1s and the 0-0s, if you were fast to put a lot of the comments inside that little rant where you were tough. Oh, you must eat a lot of this and you must eat a lot of that and da-da-da-da-da. And now you get bang. You get Shakwata games. If you don't know what Shakwata means, because you only know how to speak English, take Shakwata, put it in the ChatGPT, and ChatGPT will tell you what Shakwata means. Thank you.
It's in Calabrese. Ask ChatGPT to translate from Calabrese. Manchester United, Steve, what is it, 10 coaches in 13 years? They got sacked. Enzo Maresca, mutual agreement. He leaves. They come up with a 1-1 win against Manchester City on this weekend. Even Celtic, they sack Wilfred Nancy. But Manchester United, Steve, I know we had bad years at Milan, and we used to say that they're like kind of our English cousins because they were going through the same fucking shit. But it doesn't look good. And in the end, we want to talk about our American owners that, 6 to 8 months ago, we were getting trashed because supposedly we were, Redbird lovers. Somehow nobody talks about Redbird anymore. But Manchester United, is the argument even them? Like, all they care about is money. Not saying there's nothing wrong with that, but Steve, 10 coaches in 13 years.
There's absolutely something wrong with that. You cannot have a storied franchise like that, and there's tons of Manchester United fans and people that I know that love Manchester United. They love them. The same way we love Milan. And for me, it hurts, Vinny. One, it hurts, because the kid who said that he's not going to cut his hair till they win 5 in a row, he's never going to cut his hair. He's going to become Rapunzel. I forgot his name. Number two, Vinny, what they're purchasing in terms of, they throw $30 million around like we throw around $3. You take Yerkshi from Bologna. You take Holland from Atalanta. You're paying these guys top dollar, Vinny.
And to send just, them back a year after.
And they're just not part of, they don't fit in the EPL, or the team is not fit, or the coach. We were talking about coaches and systems. And we brought these three coaches onto the show in terms of to talk about like the Manchester United, Almiron is a systems coach. He needs the type of players that fit in his system. They could be 20 million, they could be 100 million. He needs to have time to implement his system with his players. That's what makes that guy a good coach. So you could have 4 people who can't string 10 passes together, he's going to make them play champagne football. That's what he's going to do. He doesn't need these huge signs. Now, were these signings done in collaboration with him? Were these signings done, on their own because that's what they wanted to bring in because they thought that they needed to spend money? I don't know, but there's something terribly wrong at Manchester United. And Vinny, it's the same as Milan, but they have a shit ton of money. Give that amount of money that they spent over these years to Milan, Juve, Inter. We're winning championship over championship. We're winning Scudettos. We're winning Champions Leagues. We're winning Coppa Italias. We're winning Club World Cups in the summer.
It makes no sense that you're paying guys like Xerxes. Was he 50 million? Holland, why don't they pay for him 2 years ago? 80? Something like that, and they're writing the bench.
It's a tremendous amount of money.
And they're sending him back to Serie A because they can't get some starting lineups. But no, I think a lot of people misconceive your message marketing-wise, the way they present the football way, way, way ahead of us. Yes, our refereeing is horrible, but again, don't tell me your football is better than mine, because in the end, if your football was better than mine, you would have much more than just one World Cup that was hosted in your host country compared to World Four.
The other thing, too, is those three coaches didn't even get a chance. So Maresca, no, it's not too much pressure. It's they just don't understand what needs to happen to build a team.
Maybe they
Chelsea
want it now.
Doesn't understand. Manchester United doesn't understand. Celtic seems like they don't understand either. They took a chance on this guy. If you're taking a chance on someone like Wilfred Nancy and what he's done at the MLS, you know, with the different teams, also coach of CF Montreal, he needs time to. These coaches need time to implement this system. They need the time. But this is where football is broken. It's all about money. It's all about wins. And the wins, whether they're ugly or nice, they equate almost one-to-one to in terms of revenue, especially in the EPL. So the EPL pretty much almost doesn't even care about Champions League because they need to finish higher up in the table in the EPL because they'll probably make more money. And this is what's destroying football because these guys don't get a chance. And now Manchester United is going to give this to Darren Fletcher. Darren fucking Fletcher. This is fucking absolutely ludicrous. Chelsea is going to give it to Rose Noir.
Who?
His name is Rose Noir. His last name.
So
some coach from France.
Four quarters to a dollar, like they're just because they want something now.
I don't know. This was the topic to talk about. I'm curious from everybody in the chat, guys. What's happening in soccer? What's the problem?
They want it now. That's what it is. Just like today's generation, they want it now. They want to wait for it. And anyways, we shall see. Steve, before I take us through the upcoming weeks, I saw a nice little video there going through Facebook presenting Real Madrid Vintage Pitch t-shirts. Because Vintage Pitch, DVP, tell the people, it's not just Serie A stuff. It's for everybody. You're very inclusive there at Vintage Pitch.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Vintage Pitch is not only Serie A. You know, we have some good Liverpool stuff. We have some great... City, Chelsea, Manchester United stuff coming out. You know, in La Liga, Real Madrid, Barcelona. There's a great, great project coming out. I'll have more later on this month or the beginning of February for the World Cup and what we're going to do for that. Guys, come and check us out, vintagepitch.com. Great, great stuff. Legends of the Pitch as well is going really, really well. The Totti's, the Baggio's, the Buffon's, the Pirlo's, Cruyff. We're not going to stop, guys. We're just going to continue going. Check us out. There's always sales. There's always bundles. VintagePitch.com. Please follow us on Instagram at VintagePitch and on TikTok at VintagePitchApp.
I got my MWP t-shirt, and just like the rest of them, don't take it from me, take it from Frank GPT, guys. The quality of these t-shirts, man. And the first one that you gave me, the Milan one, I think I've washed it 7-8 times. Still same quality, same kind of fit. So yes, guys, there's a reason why there's t-shirts out there at $10, and there's t-shirts that are quality because that's why when you wash them and they still look great and the color is still black. So Vintage Pitch, guys, in the link. Steve, round 19. So starting tomorrow, right? Every team is going to be playing every three days. And we're talking about, this is where we separate the contenders from the pretenders. Let me go over, you know, you got tomorrow Lecce, Roma, Sassuolo, Juve, Bologna, Atalanta, Napoli, Verona, Lazio, Fiorentina, Parma, Inter, Milan, Genoa on Thursday. Then on the weekend, Roma, Sassuolo, Atalanta, Torino, Fiorentina, Milan, which that one's going to be a tricky one, Steve. I do not like this game. Inter, Napoli on Sunday. Juve, Cremonese, another ball-busting team. And then following up on the Wednesday, Thursday, you got Napoli, Parma, Inter, Lecce, Verona, Bologna, and Milan, Como. And then following up a couple of days after that, Inter, Udinese, Napoli, Sassuolo, Juve, Cagliari, Milan, Lecce, Lazio, Como. Guys, Steve, separating the contenders from the pretenders. And I think this is going to be the test for, I know the guys that are in Champions League and, you know, they are playing those three games a week, but teams like ourselves are, this is the time. We always say January, February, right? This is where it's going to matter the most. What are you expecting against Genoa? We do have Fiorentina on Sunday. And Fiorentina now getting this boost. Who knows what they're going to do midweek. But what are you expecting? What do they need to do? Is folklore, as you like to call him, is he going to start? Is Allegri, does he have it? Does he have it on the bench to not to Cortomuso? Because it's only one loss in all these games. Can we make it in this month of January?
I think they can. I think the pressure out of all those teams right now in the top four is the least amount of pressure is on Milan. Just because we're surpassing our expectations, especially in the first 18 weeks of the season, right? So what happens is that now he needs to find an 11 healthy. He's going to have some good, you know, transfer, you know, hopefully some good transfer options. But we talked about it when we last were on. What's gonna be happening now is we just don't have enough games to find these guys minutes. So the goal on the prize, and that's what one of the options is in the pin to the chat is, you know, I think they need to take it one game at a time. And it's 3 points from Genoa, then look to Fiorentina. Then it's 3 points from Fiorentina, then it's move on like that. And take care of your business, and it doesn't matter after what the other teams do. It's on them after. The pressure's on them.
So are you with me that these kind of teams, all these teams, the top five, six, are mistakes going to hurt? It could go for Milan as well. Or is it too early? Because I know there's still a lot of soccer to be played, Steve. There's still, like, you know, the 19 games. But do you think that this is where the little hiccups, like, you know, the Milan Cremonese at the beginning of the season, it didn't hurt that much week one. But a hiccup or drop points easily like this, will it hurt a lot more at midseason?
Absolutely. It's going to be harder to catch up now. It still hurts. There's points that we dropped. Pisa, Cremonese, Parma. That we're all going to remember those points, because dropping those points is why, you know, unfortunately, why we're in second place. But we kind of focus always on Milan. And if you look to the Inter, you look to the Napolis, you look to the Juventus, you look to the Roma, they've dropped points as well against some of these teams. You know, Roma, actually, of all those teams, has done very well with the mid to lower level teams, just can't beat anybody in the top five.
Hmm.
So you see how different it is? Like, that seems to be more of an issue than the mid-table wins or the drop points against the mid-table and the lower teams, the scontri diretti. Everybody thinks they have the formula. For me, it's, again, one game at a time. Don't drop points, especially against teams that, you know, you should be beating. And I think you ride in a great position to get that second start. And that's the ultimate goal, is the second start for them. That's why I'm saying that, you know, the least amount of pressure is on Milan, because they have one competition, and that's Serie A, to think about and make sure that they have 11 healthy players to grab maximum points and the maximum results.
Speaking, you know, how you're talking about, especially Roma, do you think that Roma will be that one team in the January window that might go get a big name because Steve, they can't score. They don't have a striker. I don't think Inter, Milan, Napoli is going to be looking at, you know, probably little fixer uppers. But if any team had to give themselves a chance, now Gasperini at Roma, do you think they would actually do something?
I think they need to. What a crazy rumor was is that, you know, they'll look for a striker and Napoli will look to Dovrek in place of Luca, who's leaving Napoli. So the dominoes fall as, you know, it's who makes the first move. So Milan made their first move and it's Il Buco. Apparently that's his nickname, Il Buco.
Il Buco.
That's because of his tooth. Crazy. Well, I'm going to give credit to the person. I will give credit to the person who I saw on Instagram who brought that up. I found that very funny. And it was Anatovich who gave it to him, that nickname, Il Buco. Fantastic nickname, the best in the world. And we made that move in terms of the striker, the need for a striker so far. Once someone else makes a move, I think the dominoes start to and people start to react. So I don't know. I love Mercato Madness exactly for that. Where will the dominoes land?
Nkunku. Supposedly, obviously, they were not gonna never gonna say yes to supposedly 20 to 25 million. Steve, if they come up with 35, will Milan? I get the argument where it's like, so far, 6 months in, we haven't got, you know, the investment. But then the other side of, you know, let's try to recuperate our money. But who are you going to replace him with?
They need to find the replacement. If that sale, because apparently the best in Mercato Madness is you can always count that Fenerbahce or a Turkish team is going to be involved in the Mercato. I don't know where they get the money from. Jose Mourinho said that it was a crazy league. I believe it. It's a crazy league, and who knows where they get their money and how they, you know, and how they respect the financial fair play. Remember that? We used to talk about that, financial fair play. Mm-hmm. No one's talking about that anymore. But it looks like in Turkey it doesn't exist.
Well, supposedly because the coach was his old coach, something like that. But hey, what would be your number? You wouldn't take 25 for him, no. 35, do you?
I don't care about the numbers. That's Fruilani's job. And that's the problem at Inter. Fruilani's job is the numbers. For me, it's the quality of player. If you can get me someone who is equal or of greater quality that fits for Allegri and what we're doing this year, I'm okay with it. Get 14.95 if you want. I couldn't care less. It's for Fruilani to figure out the fucking numbers. That's what he's there for, not to decide who we're going to buy and not to buy. And this is where everything sways from back and we don't know who we can believe, right? Ngoku, is it because Friulani is so ass sucked by fucking Chelsea that we have to take everybody from them to help them out? I don't know. I have no idea. Is it Tari who decided, you know, that he won Ngoku? I doubt it because he just doesn't fit in what Allegri is trying to do. So,
remember when he came out, he says, "Yeah, we'll figure out where to put him." He didn't seem like he knew where he came from. But the other thing, like Steve, even the replacements or even keeping him, how many times have we said it so far? The way we've been playing, especially when he rotates players, this team ain't playing three games a week next year. So maybe having that kind of rotation, getting some, and look, if Folkrug could manage to help us out, hey, Il Buco, as you said, if he can help us out, and I know it's very not very expensive, il diritto di riscatto, I think, what, 4 or 5 million, I think, last time I read. But in the end, if they do move, Steve, will be for maybe little bits and pieces to
cover the Bucos. Center back, they have to make it. The rumors are, you know, they were throwing out Milan Skriniar. They were throwing out Kim from Bayern Munich. Guys, those are great, you know, great options for what we're looking for. Someone a bit more experienced to slot into that back three or maybe play a back four. The thing is that their salaries are probably just out of this world. So it seems like those are not going to go at Manchester City. The last that I heard is the Dutch player Ake looking for more minutes. Again, seems like a good option. We'll see. We've been, you know, kind of lucky with Dutch players through Milan's history. But it's different, you know, when you're a defender in the EPL and you come to Serie A. It's hard to learn this league and what it does to you in a couple of months. But he wants the minutes, and I understand why. It's a World Cup year. A lot of guys are going to be looking for a lot of minutes, you know. And Anthony Lafleur brings up another good one. This was hilarious. This is Lotito being Lotito. Giglia from Lazio, but apparently, Anthony, Lotito has decided that everybody from Lazio is worth 30 million. Because Tata Castellano, he went for 30 million fucking dollars to West Ham. 30 million for that guy. We could dress Tate in the Sunday League at Marie Victorin here in Montreal, Quebec, Sunday Garage League, and he probably won't score a goal. But yet, West Ham said, you know what? We'll take this guy, hold my beer. We will give you 30 million. That's how the fucking EPL spends their money. That's why I get fucking pissed off. Because a league with that kind of cash needs to be smart with that cash.
Guys, please don't forget, Thursday, Coast to Coast is going to be on reviewing the game versus Genoa. You gotta like, you gotta subscribe. Let me put up again that little graphic, because I like to put up, guys, like, subscribe, download the audio, super chats, Patreon, everything. We appreciate every single click, every single subscriber. On that note, Steve, Forza Milan, let's go. You know what I want to think about Sunday? Let's think about Thursday. You said, let's think about ourselves. Yeah. Right? Let's not start counting the tables. And we are playing at home, I believe, this one here. Yeah. Yes. It's not one of these two. So these are the kind of games that you should be winning. So andiamo a prendere queste tre punti, Stevie P. Any parting words for you before we
parting
let everybody
words.
Go?
Two of them. And for sure, Presidente or you know whoever clips this video is going to take it. Number one. Moncada, if he could get his fucking ass out of France and do some fucking work and scout, because every person that we're attached to is from France. There's another 19-year-old from a strange French league team that I've never heard before in my life, who's apparently the next superstar. But like, if we look at, you know, the real transfer hits and misses by Moncada, I think that there's going to be more misses than more hits, and he needs to start collecting a little bit of air miles. There's other countries other than France, also known, I don't know if he understands, but he actually sits in Italy, a soccer hotbed where we can find and identify talent. That's number one. That's my message for Jeffrey Moncada. My number two is for Spalletti. After his player shot the most disgusting PK in the world that I've ever seen in my life, his post-match comments, those are the ones where I would love to get a freebie to give him a punch in the face or a slap in the face. His thing is, no, ma lo battessi voi il rigore. You take the no, Luciano Spalletti. You get paid fucking the millions to manage this team. Hit that player. You bought him for millions. He takes the ball, given the ball, whatever the fuck it is, puts it down, shoot the fucking ball like a man. It's enough with these fucking rinky-dinky penalty shots. They don't work. Shoot the ball. If the goaler makes a save, applaud him. If you miss the net, too bad, work on taking penalty shots. But if you don't have the world-class ability of Francesco Totti to do il cucchiaio, that's why they don't fucking invite you to dinner. Shoot the fucking penalty shot.
Gotta love my buddy Steve. Guys, in the poll, right, so far, beating Genoa is 58%, leading the way in January transfers at 27%. Speaking of penalty shots, Jonathan David, when you come to Serie A, keep your mouth shut. Don't say you're going to score 20 goals before you set foot on the pitch. On that note, guys, we will see you Thursday with Gio and Fabio, coast to coast, ovunque sempre. Forza Milan, guys.
Forza Milan!